This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, right, touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays. Welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown, week number 16. Can you believe we're in this kind of a home stretch already, Kevin? Unbelievable. Really, only two more weeks.
It has flown by.
It has flown by. Two more weeks of the NFL season. Two more weeks of the fantasy season as well. But listen, I know this really is championship week in the fantasy football world for a lot of people. So we're here to help you out, get you over the hump, get you into the finals, or get you to win the finals. That's what we're here for. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Several emails already in, and we're talking about the weekend ahead. That weekend begins tonight. Carolina at Pittsburgh. Carolina doesn't have too much to play for. Pittsburgh does. But, there's definitely some fantasy implications. Might not be as juicy as some of the other Thursday night games we've encountered this year, but you might want to make sure you have your lineups set before 8 o'clock tonight. And while we're mentioning that, before you get deep into the Christmas holiday, if you're celebrating that, make sure you have your lineup set for Dallas, Arizona, which is Saturday night. And, it's funny. I was looking just a little while ago today about what the NFL schedule was like the last time Christmas fell on a Sunday, which is going to happen next year. And the NFL had a full league schedule on Saturday, the 24th. So just keep that in mind. That's next year, though. We don't have to worry about that right now. But we do have to worry about this weekend ahead, a game tonight, a game on Saturday, a full slate on Sunday, and a Monday nighter as well, that Monday nighter, New Orleans at Atlanta. So knowing what kind of offenses those two teams have, you know that a lot of championship battles in fantasy this week will go down to the wire on Monday night. Got to figure that New Orleans with the kind of passing game they have, Atlanta between Matt Ryan, Roddy White, Michael Turner, Tony Gonzalez, of course, that there will be a lot on the line on Monday night. Some interesting just little news and notes, nuggets that I've seen over the last couple hours pertaining to this coming week. Mark Sanchez. Looks like there's some concern for Mark Sanchez in the shoulder injury that came up. It looks like Rex Ryan saying that, there's some optimism he'll be able to play, but it's an ominous sign. I guess Mark Sanchez's shoulder is injured enough that he couldn't play right now. Daryl Bevell, the Vikings offensive coordinator, confirmed that he's planning as if Joe Webb will start against the Eagles on Sunday. And what we did learn last week is that the Vikings and Joe Webb and Brett Favre and whoever else can say whatever they want on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even Sunday morning. Brett Favre became, if not the first, I've got to imagine the first player, and no surprise that it would be him, to be elevated from out to questionable to end up starting really all on the same day. So you really can't believe anything that comes out of that Vikings camp and out of the Brett Favre camp, but it doesn't look like he'll end up playing. But some good news for the Indianapolis Colts. Joseph Addai saying today that he has, quote, a great chance of playing against the Raiders on Sunday. And, the Colts did get...
I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing at that one?
I just had to listen to Susie Colbert, direct quote, say the words foot fetish porn.
Wow. Okay. I didn't think you were laughing at my report here that Joseph Addai might
If you play. Heard it, you would have. I'm sorry. But
what an overblown.
But thank you, Rex Ryan, for making Susie Colbert have to say those words.
I'm no sympathizer toward the Jets or Rex Ryan. I just don't. I don't see this one. This one, I'm not really too concerned by. Anyways, we're not talking about that here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We're talking about the fantasy. No, Kevin, that was not directed
it was
at you.
Just a funny thing.
When I heard you laugh, I figured that must be pretty good. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. But as I was saying about Joseph Addai, You know, Donald Brown did come in and have really an impressive performance, a rare impressive performance for a Colts running back this year. So you figure for the Colts, as they are approaching this week's game and really a must win, they need to beat the Raiders this week in Oakland. Having a full-fledged force of running backs between Adai and Donald Brown, Javaris James to come in and clean up a little bit if need be, that will certainly be important. We're going to get right into the emails here. Apologize for a bit of a late start here on the Fantasy Lowdown. I guess we can trace it all the way back to the PFW show earlier in the afternoon, but that's okay. We will get to all of your emails today. Starting out with Glenn. Glenn says, and this is very exciting because you don't always get the 4 exclamation points, but Glenn says, I made it into the playoffs. 4 exclamation points. I came second in my division with an 11-4 record. Since writing in, I went on a 10-game win streak. See, that's what happens here in the Lowdown. Thank you for all the help. I have a few more questions this week. I think I should pick up Kevin Cobb again, but who do you think I should drop for him? I'd be kicking myself if I made it into the final week, into the finals, and Vic gets injured. Now, if you remember, if you're a loyal listener, and I know Glenn is a loyal emailer, he has had Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb on his roster for a while, and that has been a situation that I have applauded and endorsed. Now, a couple weeks ago, he dropped Kevin Cobb. No, nothing against that. But his concern now is Vic is his only quarterback on the roster. It sounds like he must have the championship game in Week 17. And the reason why a lot of championship games are Week 16 is because of that, you know, sort of there end up being a handful of games, and we've seen it with the Patriots in the past, where Week 17 just doesn't matter, and coaches do some weird nonsense with their lineups and with teams at play. Let's just say, and I don't see this happening, let's say the Patriots wrap everything up this week, and Tom Brady doesn't play in Week 17, or Tom Brady only plays a quarter, which certainly could happen. Well, if Tom Brady is the starting quarterback on your team, you're in a bit of a bind. And it's an important topic that Glenn brings up, because you need to make sure you're covered. If you're in the championship game, and that is Week 17, you need to make sure your roster reflects the fact that you have some tough decisions to make in Week 17. So the way that Glenn's roster looks right now, he does not have a backup quarterback. And Glenn, I think you're talking right here. You need a backup quarterback, because Michael Vick, listen, the one knock against Michael Vick, especially when it comes to, well, do the Eagles want him to be the long-term quarterback, is he gets hurt. He is prone to getting hurt, getting hit, and that could be a problem. What if it happens this week? What if against Minnesota, Jared Allen comes in and destroys Michael Vick off the edge? Well, whether Kevin Cobb is the right guy for you to pick up, Glenn, it remains to be seen, because there just might be better options on the waiver wire. Now, who could those better options be? Well, not someone like John Skelton of Arizona, who I'm sure is out there. Really not someone like Troy Smith, who's going to start again against San Francisco. But if you look around, it could be that Kevin Cobb is the best option because, you know, who does Philly play? Philly plays Dallas in Week 17. You know, whoever the quarterback is for Philadelphia that week, you'd certainly say has a pretty good chance against a pretty bad defense to put some points up. So you got to see who else is on the waiver wire there, and you just got to look at some of the matchups for Week 17, which is when Cobb would get in. I like the idea. Now, who should he get rid of? His starting lineup looks like Michael Vick, Peyton Hillis, and as of now, he's got Rashad Jennings at running back, Roddy White, Jeremy Maclin, Miles Austin at wide receiver, Antonio Gates at tight end, Neil Rackers, and San Diego's defense against Cincinnati. On the bench, Anthony Dixon, Sean Green, John Kuhn, Nate Washington, Owen Daniels, and Chicago Bears. I think I remember Glenn having.
Sorry, I'm distracted. You can tell.
Well, you had this like moan and groan, and I didn't know if you knew that your microphone was up because the world heard it.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I was
Listen, Kevin. Enough of the apologies.
I was just doing some wizardry. Wizardry back here.
Oh, is that
you
right?
Want to hear it?
Does it pertain? Is it foot fetish or fantasy lowdown?
Fine, we'll do it at the end of the show.
Let's do it at the end of the show. We're backed up here on the emails.
I know.
Kevin.
I'm just very proud of myself.
Enough of your, foot fetish porn.
I wish I could have got the.
You know.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
continue.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think Glenn may have made a move at running back because I don't remember Peyton Hillis and Rashad Jennings being his top two. I think he may have had someone else. But, Anthony Dixon, Sean Green, John Kuhn. I would say John Kuhn is probably the guy you'd want to get rid of there, Glenn, because, you know, I think Dixon and Green would be above Kuhn to me in terms of startability.
Yeah, we had this talk ourselves about, I remember kind of complaining to you saying I picked up Kuhn in the middle of the season. And, you know, he was kind of their short yardage touchdown back.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything for like the 4 weeks that I had him. And then all of a sudden against the Patriots, he looks phenomenal.
And that tends to happen sometimes against the Patriots.
I felt like an idiot.
But I just think Anthony Dixon, you know, probably has a better chance at a lot of carries. Sean Green has a better chance at a lot of carries rather than John Kuhn. You want Nate Washington just because, you know, as of right now, he's your only other backup wide receiver. Owen Daniels, you know, you could probably get rid of him. You have Antonio Gates. But I would say John Kuhn is the guy to get rid of Glenn. And I love the thinking. Pick up a quarterback. You should have a backup quarterback regardless of who your starter is going into this next 2 week period of the playoffs. But I definitely think if it's Michael Vick, you'd hate to be caught shorthanded if Vick goes down and you've got a good team, you've made it this far. Go pick up Kevin Cobb. I like it, Glenn. Next up, we've got Pablo in Mexico City. Hey, Brian, I'm in the finals in my league, and for added fun, I'm going up against my brother. So this is a must win. I've attached my team as it's set up so far. Let me know what you think. I'm especially interested by what you have to say about my wideout. So here's what Pablo has. Quarterback, Philip Rivers, and then David Garrard on the bench. I love that setup. I really do. Not sure how long you've had Rivers and Garrard, but I think that's a classic fantasy 1-2. I think David Garrard has become a guy that, let's say Philip Rivers had an Aaron Rodgers situation like last week or got hurt in midweek. You don't want to be scrambling for a quarterback. David Garrard has put up pretty good numbers. Running back, Ray Rice and Steven Jackson. And then really no running back on the bench, which is interesting. But, you know, you got Ray Rice, you got Steven Jackson. You should be okay. They haven't had classic unbelievable years as far as scoring. But, hey, they're your top two backs, no questions asked. Now we get to the wide receiver situation, which certainly is interesting here for Pablo. Roddy White, Jeremy Maclin, and Vincent Jackson are his top three in terms of who's in his lineup right now. Roddy White, you don't mess with. If he hasn't been the best wide receiver, most consistent wide receiver this year, he's top three. Vincent Jackson against Cincinnati. Hard to go against him after what he did last week in the Thursday nighter, three touchdowns. Was it Thursday night? Yeah, it was the Thursday nighter last week. But then on his bench, he's got Deion Branch, Austin Collie, Chad Ochocinco, Roy Williams. Here's the deal. Austin Collie's on IR. You can dump him. You can get rid of Austin Collie, no questions asked, maybe get another running back, because Pablo, like I said to the previous emailer, Glenn, you don't want to be caught shorthanded. If a guy like Steven Jackson gets hurt this week and you have this is your finals, I think you said, so a little bit different. You don't have to look to next week, but might not hurt to grab a running back in case a guy goes down in practice this week. But Branch has missed the last two practices. He missed Wednesdays, he missed Thursdays. A little bit of concern there. I wouldn't expect it to be major concern come Sunday, and here's why. He spoke to the media today, spoke at length. Generally, when we see a guy who's expected to miss time, like for instance, Dan Connolly has not had a chance to speak to the media since his historic 71-yard run. This isn't apples to apples, Branch and Connolly, but I think it's a low-level concern right now, but you never know. So Chad Ochocinco would be the only other guy. And Roy Williams, but I'm not really sold on Williams. I think White, Maclin, and Jackson are your guys, Pablo. You know, Roddy White, number two ranked wide receiver when we look at Greg Rosenthal's rankings. Jeremy Maclin is number 10. And then Vincent Jackson is number 7. So you've got three of the top 10. And then you've got to go down quite a bit farther. Chad Ochocinco, 29th. Deion Branch is 28th. Roy Williams is you're probably not going to really find him too high on here. I think you're in good shape at wide receiver. I think those are the guys that I'd start. I wouldn't mess with that, and I don't really see any reason for you to change up what you got there. Now, tight end, to me, is a more interesting situation than what you have going on at wide receiver. Rob Gronkowski and Mercedes Lewis. Kevin knows how high I've been on Mercedes Lewis this year. And frankly?
Borderline man crush.
And frankly? It's worked out pretty
well. Yeah, you've been correct.
He's got nine touchdowns. Now, Gronkowski's got seven. Not as many targets as Mercedes Lewis.
No.
It's been hit or miss. But I think Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez owners have probably been a little frustrated as the season goes on.
It's like the Patriots running back situation, but with tight ends.
Right. However, the Patriots running back situation now has sort of
it's become more clear.
A little more clear.
But you Woodhead know, but, still is stealing some.
Yeah, but what team?
Thunder.
I mean, but you know this isn't going to be like a Corey Dillon 2004. True. So the fact that it's just Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, as generally your every down back,
Woodhead compliments him.
Complimenting him is a little more straightforward than what we've had in recent years when it's been Taylor, Sammy Morris, Kevin Falk, Ben Jarvis, Lamont Jordan, and all that. So Gronkowski, Mercedes Lewis. I'm going to lean toward Mercedes Lewis because I think there's a safer bet that Lewis is going to be a bigger part of the offense.
And
on a
he's
week,
your boy, too.
And he's my boy.
Him.
On a week-by-week basis than Rob Gronkowski. Plus, Mercedes Lewis going up against Washington. The 32nd-ranked defense, 30th, tied for 30th against the pass. And for whatever it's worth, that game is in Jacksonville. The Patriots game is in Buffalo. I wouldn't be stunned if the game in Buffalo is a lower-scoring game. I just don't know if Rob Gronkowski is my safe bet. I'd change it up and go Mercedes Lewis instead of Gronkowski there in that slot. Now, you've got Pittsburgh defense. You should be fine. There's really no reason to worry there against Carolina tonight, and Josh Brown is your kicker. So I think you're in good shape there, Pablo. And the one change I'd make to what you have going on there is tight end. I like what you're doing at wide receiver. Next up at webradio at patriots.com, this is from David, who says, "Hey, B-Lo, after a tough loss last week, thanks to Knowshon Moreno's first quarter injury, by less than 2 points, I'm unfortunately not in my fantasy Super Bowl this week, but instead battling for the third place position. In any case, I appreciate all your help thus far and just want to hear your take one last time. In my flex spot, do I start Mario Manningham, Ryan Terrain, or Deion Branch?" Well, as of based on what I saw last week, you know, Mario Manningham had a big-time game. He does have a bit of a heel injury, and that's something to worry about. Manningham had 2 touchdowns early in that game. And then, you know, Ryan Terrain, you know, he's been up and down, but he's had some strong performances. As of right now, I'd keep Deion Branch third among those three. I don't see myself thinking high enough of Deion Branch this week to have him ahead of Manningham. And then you're looking at Manningham and Terrain. I guess I'd say that they're in similar categories, Manningham and Terrain. You know, Terrain going against Jacksonville, which has a very weak, a fairly weak defense, worse against the pass than against the run. Manningham, for his part, he goes up against Green Bay. We saw the Patriots put up a little bit of, you know, put up some points against Green Bay. Green Bay pretty good against the pass. That might be a toss-up one for me. I think I might go Terrain. Just thinking, if Terrain is going to be the lead back for that team, then I'd rather have the guy who has more touches than Manningham. Manningham had a great game. I just don't know if they're going to be able to string that together this week against Green Bay. So, David, good luck in your consolation game this week. Sorry we couldn't put you into that title game, but I think you have a lot going for you in that third-place game. And that does bring one point to mind. You know, there's something about being in the championship game, the title game for your fantasy team, and truly in leagues like this where it's a lot more about pride than it is about the money that's at stake. And don't get me wrong, I love to win a little bit of money in these entertainment only pools and fantasy leagues, but you know, there's pride on the line, and you know, but just because you're not in the championship game, you know, play to win these consolation games. You can still have some fun with that, get to third place. Maybe if your league has to do with you know, the draft next year, you want to try to lose and get a better draft pick. But you know, that's not I don't like that. That's not in the spirit of the spirit of it all. But anyways, you know, don't just gloss over being in the consolation games. Now, if you're someone like Kevin, who's in like 11th place or whatever,
yeah,
it might be harder to look forward
I
to that.
I gave up a while ago.
Did you?
I haven't even tried to.
Oh, that's
my
nice
lineup
to hear.
In a while.
That's
no,
nice
but
to hear.
I had been eliminated, so there was no need for it.
Okay, fair enough. Paul is in London. He's always in London. Paul is always in
he
London.
Is.
I think he might live there.
That might be a good call.
Unless he travels there every Thursday.
You should be a detective.
No, I know Paul is in London. Hey, Brian, of the 5 leagues I was left in going into the final eight or final four or final eight, I'm now left with one. Michael Vick killed me in 2 of the leagues, and strippers beat me in the PFW league. Oh, we'll get to strippers in a moment. So I'm left with my pay league where I'm in the final 4. Pick my team for me. QB, 2 running backs, two wideouts, a tight end, a defense, and a kicker. Quarterback Tom Brady and Sam Bradford. Looking ahead, do I consider starting Bradford in Week 17 should the Pats win this week? Oof. Such an interesting question. Who does Sam Bradford play in Week 17? St. Louis is at Seattle. An appetizing matchup for Sam Bradford. Now, we did mention this at the top, and I actually used Tom Brady as an example. Yeah, you know, if the Patriots win this week, you wonder, on the one hand, you wonder how Bill Belichick will handle that last week. But I got to be honest with you. What I see out of Bill Belichick, what I've seen out of him in some of the games this year, I don't think Tom Brady's going to sit. I don't even think Tom Brady's going to sit for a half. I think Tom Brady's going to play three quarters of that game regardless. Because Bill Belichick is trying to enforce on this team, we are not taking the foot off the gas. We're going all out. Plus, if they win this week, they will have a bye. And if they have a bye, then that means it's 2 weeks between games. You want them to stay sharp. And just knowing what Belichick has done, you know, Brady never sits that last game. They might hold him back a little bit. He might not play all of that game. I'll tell you what, Paul, we're going to have to check back in a week because, you know, if Tom Brady does have a foot injury and a right shoulder injury and has the flu this week, I could see maybe the philosophy changing a little bit and Brady doesn't play the entire game or maybe doesn't play at all. But we're going to have to wait and see. I do think Sam Bradford is a nice guy to have in the reserves there. Have him on the bench, because if you do have to make that decision, I think you could see Bradford having a big game. Now, running back. Darren McFadden, Ryan Terrain, Felix Jones, Javid Best, Danny Woodhead. I'd probably do it in that order. McFadden against a poor Indy defense, poor Indy run defense. I like it. Ryan Terrain, I do like this week. Now, Felix Jones is definitely an interesting guy to me. I don't know if I'd put him ahead of Ryan Terrain. Just because if Terrain is going to be the lead back, I think that's safer. Now, that being said, you know, you do have, you know, the more I think about it, you do have Felix Jones going against Arizona, which is an interesting one. I'd look past Woodhead. I'd look past Best. To me, it's between Terrain and Felix Jones in that matchup right there. That matchup is appetizing. Felix Jones against Arizona. That's an appetizing matchup. You know, want to know something? I might actually lean toward that. I think Arizona's that bad. I'm going to lean toward Felix Jones. I'm going to tell you Darren McFadden and Felix Jones. Now, wide receiver, Marcus Colston, Mike Wallace, Santonio Holmes, and Danny Woodhead. Woodhead, of course, counting at a couple different positions. Certainly like Colston up against Atlanta. You know, you don't want to bench Marcus Colston really in any matchup. Mike Wallace I like as well. I think you're going with those two, and now especially if there's reason to worry about Mark Sanchez in this game, you know, you knock Santonio Holmes down a few notches. I think it's an interesting trio you got there. I'd lean toward Colston and Wallace before I get to Holmes. And then Rob Gronkowski, the tight end, Ryan Succop, and Baltimore Ravens. Now, he does ask, are the Ravens or Ryan Succop of any value this week, or do I look for an upgrade? Well, you know, for me, you know, Ryan Succop is fine. You know, that week that Matt Cassel didn't play, he got really no opportunities at all, and he was not a guy. You know, it turned out he had a goose egg. But I think with Cassel back, I think he's as good as anyone else. I don't think you want to mess with that. Now, the Ravens, Baltimore at Cleveland. You know, do you look for an upgrade at defense? Well, you know, the one worry would be Peyton Hillis, who has torn up quite a few defenses. And, you know, Baltimore certainly has a good run defense. You figure they could hold their own. I wouldn't be as concerned about Colt McCoy in this game. You know, I think the Baltimore Ravens defense is probably in that top 10 for this week. I mean, who else is available that might be interesting? Well, I don't know. Maybe you look at a team, maybe you look at the Rams against San Fran. I'm not very impressed with San Fran's offense. The Rams are at home. I'd probably stick with Baltimore, though. I think Baltimore is a good defense going up against a not very good team. So that's not a bad one. Paul in London, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you as well, as Paul says. Webradio@patriots.com. That is the email address. We still have a few more emails. We want to know what your worries and concerns are going into this week. Now, we will get to these emails, and I also want to touch on, I mentioned to John Rook, that starting to look at 2011. I'm just concerned, and I want to make sure that people who aren't in their championship games have something to look forward to. We'll talk about that next here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit a B-low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
508-543-7482 is the way to call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can feel free to do that. But certainly, emailing at webradio@patriots.com is not just allowed. It's recommended. It's encouraged. It's a wonderful thing.
Have you been getting any more of those like PDF lineup things?
Well, I you know, we got one from Pablo today.
Nice. So and, it's catching on a little bit.
It's catching on. It's definitely catching
on. Hopefully it'll catch on for next year, too.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to make a big push, Kevin, in the off season, a big push for PDFs of your fantasy roster for ease of analyzing and dissecting the questions for a given week.
Yeah, and you get a better sense of the whole situation of the team and the matchup.
No question about it. No question about it. So I did mention that you know, I want to talk a little bit just in the interest of those who are whose seasons are long done, long gone, and just some fodder to think about over these lonely 8 months coming up. And you know, I certainly hope and encourage everybody to have other interests outside of fantasy football.
We hope you all do.
I've struggled with that in my life. I don't have much else, but I'm working on it.
That's a lie.
I'm working on it. That is, of course, a lie. But it's important to have a little bit of balance. But it's also important, you know, because of how important fantasy football is, and it's important to monitor Everything from December through August.
Especially in those like keeper leagues where you have to figure out. I know one of my good buddies who's in a league with me, all of us friends that were in college together, was already like making moves at the he's well out of the running, but he was still making moves to acquire people because there was some sort of rule like your keeper has to be either drafted in the fifth round or like picked up, you know, off the waiver wire.
Right.
And he was still like wheeling and dealing. I know he picked up Tony Romo, thinking that might be a possibility because somebody, you know, he's on IR.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody, you know, threw him to the scrap heap, and he's trying to figure out, like, hey, who can I place my dibs on for next year?
Right, right. Well, NFL teams can win their can win championships because of what they do in the offseason. So can fantasy teams. And, you know, I've been going, just jotting down names that catch my eye as far as guys that you know, you just should think about for the upcoming for next year. And whether that's because guys who were sort of under the radar this year but could be sleepers next year, it's just hard to say. And looking at different categories, different positions, you know, running back is obviously the most volatile, the most unpredictable. You know, who could have imagined that, you know, Arian Foster and Peyton Hillis would really be the two best backs this year, two best fantasy backs. But then again, you know, I feel like quarterback is a position where, you know, the top quarterbacks going into the season are often the top quarterbacks when the season ends, with certainly some variation like Michael Vick. But Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, these were all the top guys going in, and these have been the top guys as we wrap it up. But really what got me thinking about all this is like Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, who steps in last week, he's going to get a couple more starts for Denver. Denver's going nowhere, but you know, Eric Studsville obviously figures, hey, we might as well see what we have in this guy, Tim Tebow. Let him let him go, unleash him a little bit. And I do think that depending on the coach of the Denver Broncos next year, I think Tim Tebow could be a real interesting sleeper because of the total, you know, if he is the starting quarterback of the Broncos next year, and I think it's a realistic possibility. Who do they have right now? Kyle Orton. They've got Brady Quinn. They've got Tim Tebow. I mean, listen, Orton's been okay. I don't think he's the future, but I do think that they're going to try to find a head coach, Urban Meyer. No, that's I'm kidding about that. They'll find a head coach who wants to revolve an offense around Tim Tebow. It would be ridiculous. So I think Tim Tebow is going to go into next year as a pretty interesting guy. I think Jay Cutler is going to have a monster 2011. You know, you look at I looked at, you know, his first 3 years in Denver, and you know, he had his biggest year in year three. This is going to be his third year in Chicago. He's definitely gotten better this year, more so than last year.
Yeah, Bears are having a good year.
Bears are having a good year. You know, he's entrenched. There's no worries that, you know.
Yeah, this present year was big for him to see, you know, if he was going to be their guy.
And you know, the weapons, no, there's no huge names other than Devin Hester as returner. But Johnny Knox, Earl Bennett.
Solid.
Greg Olsen, solid.
Catch the football.
Yeah, they have a run. You know, they need to make some improvements in the running game, I think. But I think Jay Cutler, listen, you're always going to have to worry about the interceptions with Jay Cutler. But I look at him as a guy who could become Drew Brees-esque when it comes to the stats. He could be a guy who has high touchdown totals.
We're going to have
to
save this tape.
High touchdown totals. I don't like Jay Cutler. I think he's a miserable guy.
Me too.
But I do think high touchdown, high yardage, high interception, and a stable of wide receivers where, you know, on a week-to-week basis, you might not know who's going to be the guy, but he's going to get the numbers. So I think Jay Cutler is an interesting guy. You know, running back, like I said, you know, the chances are slim that the three or four top running backs going into a season are going to be the top three or four running backs at the end. I mean, sure, you know, Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson, these were guys that were expected to be massive performers, and they've had good years, but not the kind of, you know, in a lot
years.
Of ways, not beast, yeah, not beast years.
Monster years.
Not monster years. So, you know, there's some run. I think Ryan Terrain is an interesting guy going into next year. I'll tell you what. A year ago at this time, the two names that I remember being very high on, Jamal Charles and Jerome Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
So one out of two isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Charles having a huge year, Kansas City. But I thought Jerome Harrison would be the guy that would go into the season as the lead back for the Cleveland Browns and would exceed expectations. What happens? He gets traded for a late-round draft pick by week 3 or 4 to Philadelphia. So, again, that's hard to predict. But I think Ryan Terrain is definitely a guy. And I do think if something were to happen to Chris Johnson, I think Javon Ringer would be a breakout guy. Now, that's the thing that in December of 2010, there's no way to predict for September through December. But
or,
he's a guy that's
Javon impressive. Ringer's situation changes and he gets shipped out of town or something. Like
no, that's true, too. And you always think that I like to think of as the Michael Turner corollary.
Exactly.
Turner was behind LaDainian Tomlinson, and he showed he was very impressive in the opportunities he got for San Diego. But once he got moved, and I don't remember if that was a restricted free agency or a franchise tag, he gets traded to Atlanta.
Just explodes.
And explodes. Has an opportunity and explodes.
And I had a lot of chances to watch Javon Ringer play in person at the collegiate level at Michigan State in person. My sister's a trainer in their football program.
I see.
So I was very impressed with him in college, and he was a real nice young man, too.
Yeah.
So I hope he gets a shot going forward to be maybe not a feature back, but at least, you know, it'd be nice to see him get 20 carries a game or 20 touches a game. And see
he's a nice guy.
To see what he could do with him.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to be a back like that and be stuck behind a guy like Chris Johnson because you may never know what you're actually capable of.
Right. The one thing you hold your head up high about when you're a guy like Javon Ringer is the volatility of that position.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's rare that a guy goes 16 games or beyond as the lead back, the 25 carry game. And all it takes for a guy like Javon Ringer is for Chris Johnson to be out for 2 games, tear it up,
and then his value goes up.
No question
about
it.
Brian Hoyer down the hallway here would be the first one to tell you, Javon Ringer was directly responsible for a lot of Brian Hoyer's success because they were able to run the ball so well.
Yeah, no question about it. One wide receiver I want to mention, too, before we go to the get back to the emails, is Deon Butler of Seattle. He was having a really impressive season with some pretty good stats before he went on injured reserve a couple weeks ago. And he was doing it in really a lackluster offense with a quarterback who has not been playing well in Matt Hasselbeck. I see Deon Butler, if they can get some stability, if they can get their overall offense going, I see a real opportunity for someone to break out as the top wide receiver in that West Coast offense. Whether it's Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback or someone else, you know, I think Deon Butler could be that guy. There's also Golden Tate, Ben Obamanu. There's a few other guys, but I like Deon Butler to be that guy. Let's get back to the emails here, and Strippers chimes in. This is the championship game in a PFW league. In fact, the one that the Lowdown was in. Yes, the Lowdown.
Strippers any of that? He's an
very nice. The Lowdown. I was in this league. I did not do very well. Did not do very well. But Andy Hart's colon has to decide who to start. Now, I don't like these questions. Josh Scobie versus Washington or Sebastian Janikowski against Indy. I'm not a kicker guy. I understand and like the value that kickers bring to a fantasy football team. I just think that analyzing and figuring out which kickers have the most opportunity, it's much more dependent on what the rest of their team does.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
But I might not be the brightest guy in the world, but I don't think it's because of this.
No.
This hypothesis.
I've just been expanding our horizons of drops.
Basically, I'll just lean toward the warmer, the better weather. And Josh Scobie.
It's funny you mentioned that because that's exactly what I did the last few weeks I was in contention. I went to indoor kickers / warm weather kickers.
Yeah. Does it always work? Of course not. I mean, if I thought that way in January of 2002 when Adam Vinatieri, you know, was playoff, so it might not have been fantasy implications. I wouldn't have thought Adam Vinatieri would have a big game. It was in the snow. He's not going to make any kicks. He has two of the most historic kicks in NFL history. But I'm going to lean towards Scobie. I think he's in a pretty good offense that's going to get chances to score against Washington and probably a mix of touchdowns and extra points. Extra points and field goals. And Janikowski, to me, can choke. Give me Scobie. I'm going to go Scobie in that one. Now, here's an interesting one. Brandon Lloyd versus Houston or Joe Webb versus Philly. Now, the Joe Webb situation is this. He's the quarterback for Minnesota. He could be, in a lot of leagues, a wide receiver. So what you could do is, if he counts as wide receiver, you could make the case that the value a quarterback would give you, basically a second quarterback, depending on the scoring in your league, sliding him in as a wide receiver, that... You know, he could provide some value. I don't see it in this case. I don't see Joe Webb going into Philadelphia and providing you more points than Brandon Lloyd is going to have against the worst pass defense in the NFL, the Houston Texans. I know that Brandon Lloyd, you might think that his value goes down a little bit with Tim Tebow at quarterback. Don't know if that's the case. Don't know if that's the case. I think if Tim Tebow, I think Tim Tebow is probably going to run the ball more than Kyle Orton would do, but I think he's still going to pass it as well. I can't endorse having Joe Webb in there. What Stripper says is in a Yahoo league, Webb at wide receiver playing as a QB, you think he can get 12 points or 15? That's better than Lloyd should get. Yeah, you know, it depends on the scoring, I suppose.
He's an interesting guy because you can slot him as a wide receiver.
You can slot him in there. I worry about the interceptions with Webb. Again, it depends on what the scoring is. I'd lean toward Lloyd, though. I would. I'd lean toward having, you know, Lloyd is a top wide receiver. He's a top-ranked wide receiver. Earlier in mid-season, he was maybe a top five. Maybe now he's more of a top 15. But I just don't think you look at Joe Webb as maybe one of the lowest ranked starting quarterbacks this week. He's down there. I don't think I'd want him ahead of a high ranked wide receiver. But Strippers sends two separate emails, and then in the other one, it's at quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick or John Kitna against Arizona. I had Romo as my starter, and my genius GM moves got us into the championship with those two clowns at QB. Well,
Patrick's actually not been a clown at all.
And you know what? Honestly, Kitna hasn't either. You know, it's all relative. Based on what we thought Kitna would do when he took over for Romo and what he's done, I mean, John Kitna, you can hold your head up high if you have John Kitna as a starting quarterback, and same with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, that's a close one. I think I'd lean toward Kitna. What are you doing there?
I don't know. I probably hit the button.
I mean, I know it might be a holiday for a lot of people. I know people are all over the place, but get your head in the game here, Kevin. We only have a few minutes left. Get your head in the game.
I was actually deep in thought because I'm trying to figure out because I don't like the – I don't know. I kind of like Fitzpatrick against the Patriots pass defense this week.
Yeah, and he did very well against
the first time around. He did well. The weather looks like it's going to be like a non-factor in terms of like – you know, it's not going to be one of those snowballs where you can't throw.
Sure, sure. But,
so you're right. It is kind of a toss-up, but – I guess we just barely. You're a little bit on Kitna's side, and I'm a little bit on Fitzpatrick's side.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna lean toward Kitna on that one. Next email here. This one is from Dave in Toms River, New Jersey. Below in the other half of the AK-47. I need some of your awe-inspiring advice for my consolation game, where league fees are waived for the winner. That's not bad.
It's pretty sweet.
Consolation game. You can lose your, you can get your league fee waived.
I like that idea.
That's not bad. We can start two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex. And here's what he's got: Ray Rice, Ahmad Bradshaw. I assume this is LeGarrette Blount, Woodhead, Adai, and Bush. I guess I shouldn't assume whether that's Reggie or Michael, because it could be either one. DeSean Jackson, Roddy White, Deion Branch. And Ward, I assume, is Hines. Ward, this advice is always great. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Okay, well, let's analyze and dissect this here, Kevin. Two running backs. You got Rice, Bradshaw, Blount, Woodhead, Adai, and, you know, I'm going to say it's Michael Bush.
Yeah.
Better chance it's Michael Bush, I guess, than Reggie.
Regardless of the fact, you have to pencil in Ray Rice no matter what.
I think it's Ray Rice.
You had a monster game last week.
No question. It's Ray Rice, and I probably say it's LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I would go with that. He had a pretty solid game last week. I know he broke one big, like, 40-yard run that I saw for a touchdown.
Yeah, and going against Seattle. And, you know, I'd say it's close.
Soft.
Yeah, I'd say it's close between Blount and Bradshaw. But, you know, Adai, listen, it's good for Indy that Adai's coming back.
He's
not necessarily good for fantasy. If you've stuck with Joseph Adai to this point or you just picked him up, I don't think he's going to do much. I do think Michael Bush is an interesting sleeper this week, depending on what your makeup of running back is. But not ahead of Ray Rice, Ahmad Bradshaw, and LeGarrette Blount. So I'm going Rice and Blount, but we might get back to Ahmad Bradshaw for that flex spot. Two wide receivers, DeSean Jackson for sure, Roddy White for sure. I don't think there's a decision made there. Branch and Ward, listen.
Two solid flex plays there.
Your flex plays being Branch and
Well, listen, I mean, I would be happy with either one.
Branch, Ward, and Ahmad Bradshaw.
That's a good stable right there.
Are not bad. I'd say Branch with this potential injury situation.
Yeah.
That could be a bit of a concern. Now, Hines Ward, you got to make this decision tonight.
Playing
going against Carolina,
team, yeah.
a really bad team, though a team that has a surprisingly highly ranked pass defense. I could see it being a low scoring one tonight, though. I don't know if I like Hines Ward.
Going to go Bradshaw?
All that much. I might lean toward Bradshaw.
Well, Ian, you and I tend to agree with we favor the running backs in the flex
play
to begin
just
with, because they get all the touches and
they're
more goal line touches
more,
and such forth.
Better chance of that.
They're put in a better position to score.
Yeah, I'm going to go in this order right now. Bradshaw, Ward, Branch. Bradshaw, Ward, Branch. And that could fluctuate. Now, yeah, that Hines Ward decision has to come tonight, really in the next three and a half hours. David, but I've got to think that Bradshaw, Rice, Bradshaw, and LeGarrette Blount all in my lineup, I'd feel pretty
solid.
Good about that,
yeah.
Along with DeSean Jackson and Roddy White. This is an interesting email here from Lyndon in Colton, California. Hey, guys, funny story. I've written in three or four times this year asking for advice. For some reason, I usually go against your advice, and it ends up costing me points. Last week, I finally listened to you and sat Vincent Jackson in favor of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I still squeaked out a 7-point win, but I was really nervous Monday night because the guy I was playing against had two defensive players, 2 points per tackle, and I only went into the game with a 15-point lead.
Dodged a bullet, sounds like.
Yeah, and I should point out, I absolutely was 100% wrong on Vincent Jackson last week
with a bit
of an asterisk. And I did say this all throughout last week's show. Malcolm Floyd, to me, was the guy, the go-to guy in last week's game, unless he didn't play because he was hurt. It didn't seem as though he was going to be inactive, but he was. That opened the door for Vincent Jackson. Now, even if I knew that Malcolm Floyd was going to be inactive at the time we did the show last week, I would have thought a little better about Vincent Jackson, but not three touchdowns better.
Yeah, that was
certainly wouldn't.
Monster performance.
Monster performance. So, Lyndon, happy you were able to squeak it out. Here's what he's dealing with for this week. Running back, Peyton Hillis. Flex, LeGarrette Blount. Wide receiver, Vincent Jackson. Wide receiver, Roddy White. On his bench, I guess only one running back and a flex and two wideouts. On his bench, Matt Forte, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Hakeem Nicks, and Mike Sims Walker. I'm pretty much set on playing Jackson and White, Vincent Jackson and Roddy White. I'm not sure what I should do about my running back and my flex spot. Hillis hasn't been playing well lately and has missed practice this week. I simply just don't like Forte. It's impossible to know what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is going to do week to week. Nicks is only projected to score 9 points. Blount and Sims Walker have not been consistent.
Well, Sims Walker went down with an injury last week.
Yes, he's been questionable.
What I'm going to say is I think Benny's going to have a big game this week because I think the Patriots are going to try to run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
That's just my gut feeling on this.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. There's some interesting decisions here and some interesting analysis, Lyndon. I am going to say that Vincent Jackson, Roddy White as your wide receivers. Let's just start there. Go with that. Hakeem Nicks is an interesting play. He had a good game last week, although against Green Bay, I'm not so sure. Mike Sims-Walker, appetizing going up against Washington, but there is an injury situation there. I think you're looking at Hillis, Blount, Forte, and Green Ellis, those four running backs for two spots. I'm high on LeGarrette Blount. I think against Seattle he's going to have a big performance. Hillis going against Baltimore, and like you said, missed a little bit of injury time. I think there might be some concern there. I'm sort of with you on Matt Forte. I'm not high on him. Going against the Jets, that could be a tough game. I do think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, though, is becoming as consistent as we could possibly have imagined. And he scores in a lot of games. He's one of the highest scoring running backs in the league. He's got 11 touchdowns. Only two or three guys have more, Peyton Hillis being one of them. So, to me, I'd say I'd narrow it down now to Hillis, Blount, and Green Ellis. And the Buffalo Bills have a disastrous running game, defense. I'd love for you to get Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in there, and I might not be against having Peyton Hillis be the guy that gets on the bench. Can you imagine that you're going into a game like this and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and LeGarrette Blount might end up being your best two options, two undrafted free agents from the last couple of years who have just risen up the depth charts on their teams? So tough call there, but I'm going to stick with that. LeGarrette Blount and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, and then Vincent Jackson and Roddy White. You've got some good depth there, Lyndon. And hey, listen, what you said at the top of your email, listen, what happened last week was a tough one, going Green-Ellis over Vincent Jackson. Not making a choice between those two this time, but hopefully you'll stick with what I had to say there. One more email in the inbox, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to get an email in really in the next couple minutes, that's really all we have left on this show. This one is from Tim in Baltimore. Hey, Brian, I need to pick three wide receivers out of these. Miles Austin, Hakeem Nicks, Vincent Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and Malcolm Floyd. Any thoughts? Interesting one. The Vincent Jackson, Malcolm Floyd situation, you know, listen, if they both play, you might have to say that Vincent Jackson now has overtaken Malcolm Floyd. I'm not remembering what the news is on Malcolm Floyd this week and if he's expected to play, but I do think you're going to end up seeing Vincent Jackson ranked ahead of him. Now, as far as Miles Austin, Hakeem Nicks, I like Austin against Arizona. I like Austin against Arizona more than I like Nicks against Green Bay, I think. Pierre Garçon has been an interesting guy to try to analyze this year because you wonder what kind of faith Peyton Manning has in him. Austin Cauley now is definitely done, so there's no concern about Austin Cauley taking some of those passes. But I do kind of like Pierre Garçon because I do think Peyton Manning's still going to throw the ball. But do I put him ahead of Hakeem Nicks? I'm not sure that I do. I'm not sure that I do. And maybe I'm a little higher on Hakeem Nicks than a lot of other people, but I think I'm going Miles Austin, Hakeem Nicks, and Vincent Jackson in that spot there. Tim, thanks for the emails. You are listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio, getting you set for week number 16, which gets underway tonight, which is Carolina at Pittsburgh. And we didn't talk a whole lot about that game. It doesn't have quite the same kind of oomph as some of the other Thursday night games we've encountered this week. We've had a lot of questions pertaining to the Saturday night, the Christmas night game, Arizona and Dallas, because I think there's some intrigue still with the Dallas passing game, and there's definitely been some questions on that. And, you know, just a couple of notes just looking at last week's game. Last week's game's a wide receiver I'm just going to have an eye on, and he's a guy who I've had my eye on the last couple of years, and even going into this year, is Andre Caldwell for Cincinnati. Terrell Owens is out, and you know, Owens has had a really impressive year, and Chad Ochocinco's had a solid year too. But with Cincinnati this week, listen, I know what Carson Palmer has been like this year. He's been a disaster, but I do think if he ends up throwing the ball, a lot of targets are going to go toward Andre Caldwell. So is he a guy to have in your lineup this week? No, I mean, you've got to have a lot more problems at wide receiver. But if you do have those problems at wide receiver and you're still in a consolation game or a title game, Andre Caldwell is a guy I want to we should mention. Another note from last week's game, Arian Foster, 15 yards. All of a sudden, after such a good year, he has 15 yards last week, but I wouldn't worry that that's going to linger.
That team's just in trouble.
Yeah,
they were fighting each other, knocking each other's helmets off.
They fight the opposing team. They fight the
that's just not
their
a good situation.
Team. Right, and Denver has a terrible running game. That's who they play this week. So I think Arian Foster is going to get right back to it and be just fine. Our thanks to every emailer today. We had a few really good ones. Our thanks to Kevin. Certainly happy holidays to everybody out there. Enjoy the weekend ahead, both NFL-wise and fantasy football-wise. We will be back next week. Wrapping it all up, Kevin, I guess, right?
Yep.
Wrapping it all up next week, and you know,
putting
I know,
a bow on it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people will be completely done, but there certainly are still some championship games to be had next week. So we'll come your way again next Thursday, 4 to 5 Eastern here on Patriots.com. We'll see you then.
Happy holidays, everyone.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.